And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How are you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So let me be the first to tell you, if no one's told you before, the struggle with current day passwords is real. Remember back in the day, way back when the passwords on most websites only needed to be just a simple handful of characters. Maybe you voluntarily got creative and threw in a number or two. And through the process of people getting hacked, password databases getting out, security has increased more and more and more. Rightfully so. Need to make it just a little bit more difficult for random people to acquire all of our private personal information. And so now all our passwords are required to be 37 characters long, 15 letters, two of them uppercase, two special symbols, and one demonic dance, just to make sure that no one's getting in. And then if you work at a big enough company or a company that's worried about its security, you have to change that password every 6 months. Good luck finding all those extra demonic symbols and demonic dances to make sure that you can keep it fresh. And then good luck remembering all of them. I know there's programs like KeePass where there's one main password you keep on a local machine and then it randomizes, creates those ultra-long passwords as a means to make it easier, completely randomized, in how we take care of these things. But sometimes, such as myself, in this past week, we didn't have things like KeePass back in the day, or at least definitely didn't hear about them when I first started at the previous employer. And that struggle continues on. Tax season is coming upon us, and this individual here really enjoys doing things with paper. I have not opted for the digital receipt of my tax documents. I like to keep the post office employed. And so I called up my previous employer and told them that I needed to change my address. Lo and behold, for whatever reason, HR claims to be unable to do such a phenomenal feat as to be able to go in and change my address. So that way I make sure I get my tax documents sent to the correct place. It's mind-boggling to me. They tell me to go in and change my password. Well, I can't because I've forgotten it. It's been a couple months since I've had to log in. And they've probably taken me out of the system. But at the same time, when I go to forgot my password, I am still in the system. And here comes those security questions. So many people, businesses, I guess, today have the same stock answer. What's your best friend in high school? Your mom's maiden name? All the other, your dog's name, your cat's name. How old were you when you got your first goldfish? And the stock answers seem to work out pretty well until you're like me this last weekend, even having problems with passwords on the router. I forgot my router password. I told you, the struggle is real. I go to try and reset my router password. I've got my questions all lined up. Cool, I know the answers to these. No, I do not. I spent too many hours, probably 2 hours, guessing my questions. I guess I'm pretty good at this security stuff. Because with the employer questions, the previous employer questions to reset my password, I know the answers to all three of the questions. But these are not standard basic questions. These are questions that I wrote, and then I wrote the answers, which I find to be a much better situation as opposed to just choosing from a list of 4 to 8 options, and then you have to get creative on how you answer them. And I never know if the answers are case sensitive. Like if I put a capital letter at the beginning or a capital letter at the end. Must I always do that capital? No one says. And I'm not a fan of even writing down my passwords. I like to keep them up there in the old memory bank upstairs, which I thought was a ironclad bank lined with lead, so that way none of those extraterrestrial rays could get in and scan my passwords. So I'm still at a loss with the employer password. Got into my router, finally. Changed that password again. Made it just a little bit easier. But in complaining to this with some of my friends, we have things on the web browsers that make logging in so much easier. That's another thing that I opt out of. I regularly sign in and sign out of all of my online interactions. It's more a matter of you don't want your computer getting hacked or cookies being left on the machine and some other third-party cookie is able to go in, copy and paste using that computer magic stuff that goes on behind the monitor that I have no idea about. But again, with all these complex and intricate passwords, it becomes more and more convenient, again, to let the browser store all these credentials and log in for you. Now on a home desktop, a computer that's not going to move very far, if ever, becomes a little bit more ideal to use that. A little bit less ideal if everybody's using the same account, but this isn't the early 2000s where the computer's in the living room and everybody logs in. If there is a login, you just turn on the computer and boom, there's the Windows desktop. No login required. I don't know how families do it today, whether everybody has their own account or the parents have an account, the children have a separate account, or if it's just a straight up public computer, public being a loose term for the family computer, and there's just a basic login for everybody. I know with siblings back in the day, that would have been a fun time going in and torturing them if they left their login credentials, post some silly stuff on their MySpace. But we also have these fancy little devices, these little pieces of glass we walk around with in our pockets that let us interact, not just through voice and text on the basic level, but we can send pictures and post things on the internet and go on and Google our favorite deal. We can check in on our email or our Twitter or whatever program we're using. I guess everything now is using an app, so that at least takes it out of the browser and puts it onto the phone specifically. Won't worry about what the app is reading on the phone today, but this is about passwords and locking ourselves out. But some of our websites, some of our business websites, we still log into through our phone. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, this is the age of convenience, a point where we do need to be able to log in. We need to be able to check on things, and there's not always an app for it. And so again, we let the web browser log us in with that 37 character password. And it's great for when you're using your phone, but just like your apps, kind of a deal, a question. What happens when you lose your phone? Is your phone password protected well enough? You running 4 digits? You running 18 digits? Maybe somewhere in between. Apple has that fancy facial recognition. I wonder if they've fixed the ability to hold up a picture of someone to be able to open up the phone. What about your thumbprint? Your fingerprint to be able to unlock the phone? Rumor mill has it that if you're arrested, the cops are able to use your fingerprint to unlock your phone, but they can't force you to use a digit pin situation to unlock your phone. But if you're set up for facial recognition, they can just hold up the phone to your face and unlock it. Then how much information is there? This is, again, not telling you to log out, but merely question. Think about what's available. And it's not that any of us are going to go out and get arrested for wrong think or anything like that. And it's not that I expect any of us to go out and have a bad time and then get screwed over and be stuck with the authorities. But that question of how we have those passwords set up and this increased complexity, again, as we should, to make sure that our information is safe. I'm sure most of you, like me, have little knowledge about what happens behind the monitor. And so we do need to take that extra little bit of precaution. We can look into those things like KeePass, and there's a digital, or not a digital, but a hardware device called a YubiKey that's able to create a two-factor authentication. And that two-factor authentication situation is another decent improvement on making sure that everything is correct. As long as your SIM card is not stolen from your phone, all the silly things we have to worry about nowadays. But when you log in with your password, now everything wants to send you a text message to your phone or a phone call. And even though I sit here and grumble and say I know my passwords are secure enough, you never know. And at the same time, there is that sense of security that says, even if someone did get in, there's an email trail, there's at least a text trail, hopefully, that lets me know that someone is trying to log in. There's nothing like logging into your email and saying, we don't recognize this device. And it's like, I've been on this device 17 times. Oh, wait, that's right. I don't save my cookies. They go stale. I don't eat them. And maybe it is getting to the point for me, as old-fashioned as I may be, where I need to start writing down my passwords, etch them into invisible ink, and paint them onto the wall that can only be seen after I squirt lemon juice on the wall, and then use a black light to figure out the passwords. And then hopefully I remember where the passwords are and I don't paint over the wall. And these silly security questions, they don't always have to be the answers that are asked. Who was your best friend in high school? As long as you remember that when you answer it, you decide to say that it was actually the first make and model of your car. That's a fantastic security question from the times where, let's say someone does get into your email or whatever, and they're trying to change your password. And they know who your best friend in high school was, or they know where you went to high school or your mom's maiden name. But if you're crafty enough and you remember, you can change those answers and really keep people on their toes. And then maybe in 10 years when you're trying to get into your account and locks you out, you won't be able to answer the questions because you made them too tough. You made them too specific. But again, that's okay because nowadays we all have that two-factor authentication. I didn't set up two-factor authentication on my previous employer's account system because it wasn't required when I first started. They actually told me when I first started, I didn't even require internet access to be able to be hired. And now, nowadays, when you get hired, it's mandatory. So with all these things, bouncing in, extra security, hopefully everybody else has the backup to the backup to the backup all figured out, all squared away. So when us plebs can't recall a silly 37-character password with, is it 3 or 13 uppercase and 2 or 12 numbers? And which demonic dance was it again? We can call those overlords down there at IT because HR didn't help. And we can get our password reset. Hopefully we donated the right droplet of blood to let IT know that things are A-okay. Or is that HR that requires the blood sacrifice? Kind of lost on it all. But at the same time, it's all good, it's all fun. And again, it's a simple reminder to make sure you don't overdo it on your passwords, but make sure your recovery options fit in well. We don't get locked out. We don't sit here screaming at, I wasn't screaming, but the annoyance with the inability of people on the other side of the technology line who should be able to fix things. But I'm done complaining. I'm just here to let you know my name is Billy Bones. B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, Gab, @BillyBones. You find me on the Fediverse on Mastodon at BillyBones@NoAgendaSocial.com. Go there, you boost the toot on Mastodon, you retweet the tweet. If you see that I've mentioned that the show was launched, or maybe I say something fun and witty, or post something that's worth at least making a comment on. But I also have a website, BillyBones.com. Remember that is spelt with the number 3 instead of an E. When you go there, there's show notes for previous show episodes, at least. No show notes today. Links to the past episodes. There's links to the SoundCloud and email, in case there is a need for a longer form of communication. You go there, you say hello. And also on the website, there's a link that says Value for Value. I release this podcast without any sponsors, without any advertisers, in the hopes that you find value into the effort that I put into this. And if you did find value, the first thing I'd ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a talking point, finds something worth going into a deeper conversation of. Maybe they just go through and review their passwords and their security questions and make sure that they're easy enough to answer. But if you found this podcast was worth monetary value, like today's two executive producers, we have Lady Get Over It with her $10 monthly donation. Thank you very much. And then we have Danielle chipping in and $5. Says, thanks, Bill. Good show. I always enjoy. Thank you very much. Thank you to both of you for keeping this show alive, keeping the airwaves crispy. And if you found that this show was worth monetary value, again, you go to billybones.com, scroll all the way down, you click that value for value button. It'll take you to PayPal. You can chip in, you can donate, you can support the show in whatever monetary number you feel is appropriate. Or if you're using a podcasting 2.0 compliant app, you can support the show in little tiny bits of Satoshis. Someone streamed me 20 sats just the other day. Thank you very much for that, for streaming sats as you listen. If you need a new podcast app, you can't find me on the regular ones, you go to newpodcastapps.com. Go there, try one out. I use Fountain. But other than that, thank you. Thank you, thank you for listening. I love you guys. And I'll talk to you next week.